Good morning. Glad you're here. Hope you will be. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we are so grateful that we can be in this place. It's an honor that we have been invited by you. And what makes it spectacular is that we believe that you are here, both accepting our worship as well as just nudging us as we walk down this path to becoming the people you want us to be. We're going to talk about hard things this morning, Lord, and I just pray that you will give us wisdom and courage. We love you dearly and we want to honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We try this out on you. You can't help a liar. You buy that? You can't help a liar. Here's the deal. You can help almost anyone who's struggling with almost anything as long as they're telling the truth. But you can't help a liar because they just won't admit what needs fixing. And I even think there's a Bible verse that comes close to making this exact same point. King Solomon was the smartest guy in the world at that time. And he says this. He says, people who conceal their sins, they will not prosper. But if you'll confess and turn from them, then they'll receive mercy. So it seems to me that if you're lying about the junk that you're struggling with, I can't help you. If you lie to yourself, you can't help you. If you lie to God, he won't help you. Because people who conceal their sins will not prosper. It requires that we confess them and turn from them to receive mercy. But instead, what we tend to do is we tend to play games with God. We play games with each other. We play games with God. Sometimes we get caught in sin, and what we do is we kind of confess. We kind of confess as little as possible. I'll confess what you probably know, and I may even confess what you'll probably find out, but no more. Ever been there, done that? It's still concealing sin, isn't it? Now, we're talking about way more than just, and I'm sorry because I got caught. We're talking about the willingness to confess sins that are safe, hidden, because we want healing. Now, what makes this a huge problem for us is that I'm telling you guys, lying has lost its status as a sin in our culture. People lie, we lie, with little or no remorse at all. In fact, we expect our politicians to lie to us. They call it spin. I think he calls it lying. This last week, I suspect every NFL team in the league was doing some lying, trying to hide what they were going to do in the draft, right? It's part of the game. It's the game, right? People lie to get ahead. People lie to get out of trouble. People lie to help other people get out of trouble. We lie to hide those parts of us that we don't want other people to see. We call those lies masks. Sometimes we get so practiced at lying that it doesn't even tweak our conscience anymore. But the Bible says people who conceal their sins will not prosper. Which is why, and I'm going to show you another verse. This one comes from King David. It says, and this is pretty amazing. He says, what you're after, let me have it on screen if you would. What you're after, what God is after is honesty, truth from the inside out. What God wants is truth from the inside out. He wants us to be transparent, to be honest. You see, guys, God doesn't want us to be honest and transparent because he wants to make our life tougher. He wants us to tell the truth because you can't help a liar. He wants us to tell the truth because people who conceal the sins won't prosper. He wants us to tell the truth so we can experience life to the fullest, what we're calling in this series the freeway, this way to freedom. And we're right smack in the middle of a series that we're calling the freeway. It's what we believe is the path to the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. If you remember back a couple of weeks, step one was awareness. And sometimes there are things inside of us that we're not even aware offends God. If They're holding us back from the life God wants for us, but we're not even aware they're there. And so we pray to prayer, God, show us those things in us that offend you. Show us those things in us that are holding us back. We may not even recognize them as sin, but what matters is what he thinks. Step two, last week we talked about discovery. And the biggest discovery you're going to find on this freeway is that it requires trust. It's going to be a tough road. And you have to trust God when you understand him, and you have to trust God when you don't. You have to trust God when you agree with him, and you have to trust God when you don't, because we believe from the heart that God is smarter than we are, and we believe that he is better than we are, and he wants our very, very best. This week is about the third step. It's about ownership. We're going to talk about ownership, about being ruthlessly honest about our sin. And these are going to be hard things, but I believe they can be life-changing, because people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if we turn from them and confess them, we'll receive mercy. And I'm telling you guys, this freeway, this path to freedom is going to require a boatload of mercy. So what I want to do this morning is to expose a couple of lies, lies that are kind of holding us back, that are robbing us from this spiritual abundance that God wants to give to us. These lies are going to corrupt us. And so let's just go right after them. Here's lie number one. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. Because here's the deal, guys. You cannot blame your way to freedom. We try hard. But people who conceal their sins will not prosper. And saying it's not my fault, blaming someone else, is usually concealing my sin. It's lying. Taking ownership means that I stop blaming God. It means that I stop blaming others for messes that I have created. Now here's what makes it hard. Blaming comes naturally. It's part of our spiritual DNA. I found some cartoons. These cartoons are pretty funny, but I think they're pretty much dead on. How many of you old guys remember the cartoon Family Circle? You guys remember that one? You might remember these characters, right? All right, who's kicking at the table? Not me, I don't know, nobody. And you find out underneath the table, that's not me and nobody and I don't know. These little characters come in taking responsibility for what the kids do in so many of their cartoons. It's kind of funny. How many of you parents have actually seen this one happen? He did it. Pointing to the red crayon. You've seen that happen in real life, haven't you? I like this one. This one is about a kid in therapy. And the therapist tells the kid, what do you say we just blame your parents and knock it off early? Right? Been there, heard that. And these are about cats and dogs. These are funny, right? Cats are really good at lying. They're really good. Say nothing, they'll blame the dog. And I'm telling you guys, dogs are not good at lying. They always give themselves away, don't they? Here are the dogs. Did you see what the cat did? And you can read their body language. And I'm telling you guys, this stuff goes back to the very beginning. It goes back to the fall, the first sins of Adam and Eve. Maybe you know the story. God placed Adam and Eve into this garden, and he said to them, you can eat from any of the trees of the garden except for one. And anytime God tells you you can do all this stuff, just don't do this, what are you going to obsess on? Just the one thing he tells you you can't do, right? And that's what they did, and they eat the forbidden fruit, and in their shame they hide from God, which is what we do when we sin. We feel this shame, and we push God away. We're going to pick up the story at verse 11. And God says to them, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Have you done it? Have you done it? He knows. And how they answer is classic. It's not because it's a great answer. It's because it's how we all answer God. It's how we all answer people when they ask. He asks us this question, and Adam says, it's not my fault. It was the woman you gave me. In fact, it was the woman that you gave me who gave me the fruit, right? It's not my fault. She gave it to me, and you gave her to me, God. Maybe it's on you. And so he turns to the woman and he says, did you do it? And he says, the serpent deceived me, and that's why I ate. Well, she's not going to take the blame. The serpent deceived me. It's not my fault. And you put the snake here in the first place, God. Now I want you to think about this. This is kind of a sidelight, but it's kind of fascinating. It took a serpent, who in the story was the fallen angel Lucifer, who was the personification of evil, to deceive the woman. And all it took to deceive the man was a naked woman, right? Think about it. Not my fault. I'm the victim of a naked woman. Not my fault. I'm the victim of a blasted serpent. In fact, God, it's kind of your fault. You put us there. It's kind of hardwired into our DNA. It's been there from the very first. It's not my fault. It's his fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. I'm a victim. Have you ever played that game? Be honest. He knows. We all do. Our spiritual nature is to minimize our sin and to blame somebody else. Now, don't miss this. Technically, both Adam and Eve are telling the truth, aren't they? When Adam says, "Eve gave it to me," he's telling the truth. When Eve says, "The serpent deceived me," technically she's telling the truth. Both of them are telling half-truths as a way of evading responsibility. Both of them are using half-truths as excuses. Because if Adam could blame Eve, he could feel better about himself. And if Eve can blame Adam, she can feel better about herself. Now, we have a word for what Adam and Eve both did. And it's a word that we're very, very good at. It's called victimization. We play the victim. We try to blame somebody else for messes that we have made. In fact, we've got these code phrases that we use when we want to play the victim. I was treated unfairly. I got the short end of the stick. I was dealt a lousy hand. Life's not fair. That's kind of the stuff that Jordan was talking about when he hosted here just a few minutes ago. Some of you guys blame your parents. They got a divorce, so I don't know how to have a healthy relationship, right? Some of you guys blame your husbands. He doesn't know how to communicate, so we always end up in this spot. Some of you guys blame your wives. She blows everything out of proportion, so we end up in these big fights. Some of you guys blame the church. It's their fault. It's pastor's fault that I'm not growing spiritually. He's too shallow, or they go too deep. Parents blame the schools. Teacher's fault my kids aren't acting right or smarter than they are. We love to blame the politicians. That's why everything's wrong. It's those daggone Republicans or those irresponsible Democrats. Some of you guys try to blame the heritage, right? I'm Irish. Of course I have a temper. We blame our past. I spend too much because we didn't have anything when I was growing up as a child. That's why. If you lose your job, it's not your fault. It's your boss. He's unreasonable. He doesn't understand you. He's had it out for you, right? It's not your fault you lost the book. Your roommate borrowed the book and never returned it like he was supposed to. If you get angry, it's not your fault. They provoked me, right? He made me. She made me. If a relationship ends, it's not your fault. You're normal. You're healthy. The other person has issues. A few years ago, there was a college student who killed 32 people and wounded 17 others at Virginia Tech. Do you know that college student left a note? The note said, "You caused me to do this." Really? In such lesser ways, have you been there and done that? See, I think this is us. This is me. This is you. This is every human story since Adam and Eve. We learn how to play the victim. It's not my fault. We point fingers of blame. Well, there's a verse that we need to chew on. It's from a little letter that we call 1 John. It says, if we refuse to admit that we are sinners, if we refuse to admit, if we don't own up to the fact that we are sinners, then we live in a world of illusion and truth becomes a stranger to us. That's powerful stuff. I want us to read it together. Why don't you read this with me? If we refuse to admit that we are sinners, then we live in a world of illusion and truth becomes a stranger to us. Guys, listen. The biggest roadblock on this path to freedom for me is me. And the biggest roadblock on the path to freedom for you is you. We have to stop blaming others. We have to challenge the lie, it's not my fault. because you can't help a liar. And people who conceal their sins will not prosper, because you can't blame your way to freedom. That's line number one. Here's line number two. I made a mistake. 8 years ago, during that presidential election, there was a senator from North Carolina who was running against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton for the Democratic presidential nomination. News broke that he'd had an affair. And here's what he said to the press. These are his words. He says, 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake. A mistake that I'm responsible for and no one else. He said, in 2006, I told my wife about the mistake. I asked her forgiveness. I asked God for his forgiveness. And we've kept this in our family till this time. And at first blush, this confession seems contrite and it seems humble. After all, he admitted to a mistake, right? Well, guys, a mistake implies an error in judgment. A mistake implies that I've done something perhaps unintentionally. You turn the wrong way down a one-way street. That's a mistake. Ever been there, done that? I have. I thought it was sugar. It wasn't. It was salt. Ever made that mistake? It'd be terrible. I mistype the name of a website and I end up where I shouldn't have been. That can be a very embarrassing mistake. Been there, done that. I don't know what happened, but she ended up naked in my bed. Mistake? No. That's called sin. Sin is when you know what's right and you do the wrong. It's called sin. We use euphemisms to cover up the fact that it's called sin. New Testament was written in Greek, and there are several Greek words that we translate with the word sin. And they all communicate something different about sin. The most common one is the word hamartia. Hamartia. Originally, the word meant to miss the mark. So you're aiming at this target, and you end up over here. This is where God wants you to be. You're over here. That's sin. Another real common word is parabasis, which kind of means to cross the line, to cross the line. It basically means that we break the law, we step across the line, we deliberately cross a line that has been drawn. Now, here's what we do on this one. We want to draw the lines so I don't cross them. You know, if I get to draw the lines, I never cross them. The thing is, for a Jesus follower, we acknowledge he is the one who gets to draw the lines. He gets to be the one. When we cross his lines, in the Bible, that's called sin. Then there's ophelema, which basically means you're not paying what you owe. You're incurring a debt. Forgive us our debts. We know we're supposed to pay this. We don't. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another very common word is anomia, which literally means no law, without law, lawlessness. In other words, I'm not going to play by your rules, God, your laws. I'm going to make my own. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do, and you can't stop me, God. That's anomia, and it's an arrogantly stupid attitude. But instead of calling our sins sin, we use these euphemisms. We talk about our mistakes, our failures, our baggage, our issues, our errors, our indiscretions, our shortcomings, our hang-ups, our problems, our challenges, our struggles, our junk, just about any other word than sin. And here's the deal, guys. When we whitewash sins, when we use our language to soften them, we're liars. And you can't help a liar, because people who conceal their sins will not prosper. Remember that verse that I had you read with me a couple that was kind of on the screen, then off again for a minute, right? It went like this. If we refuse to admit that we're sinners, we live in a world of illusion. Truth becomes a stranger to us. Very next verse. Here's what it says. It says, if we confess our sins, can I have the next verse on screen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just. He'll forgive our sins and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. This is huge. If we confess our sins. Now, do you know what the word confess means basically in the Greek? It means to say the same thing as, to agree with. If we agree with God about our sins, if we say the same thing about our sins that God says about our sins, then he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us. We don't whitewash sin with euphemisms. We replace those euphemisms with just three words. I have sinned. I've sinned. I need help, God, because I've sinned. And I'm telling you guys that you can have a life-changing conversation with God that starts with those three words. You can have that life-changing conversation this morning. God, I have sinned, and I need your help. No blaming. No whitewashing. There's one more way that we mess up when it comes to dealing with sin in our life. We own it even when it's not our fault. Now, this one's huge. I've already talked about owning your sin when it is your fault. But sometimes you've got to take responsibility even when it is not your fault. Because I know, guys, here's the deal. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes bad things happen to all of us. Sometimes it is not your fault. I've been hurt, I've been betrayed, I've been deceived, maligned, disparaged. People have said untrue things about me. You have too. You've had those things happen to you. And in the end, it doesn't really matter how you got where you are. What matters is where you go from where you are. Is it on them to get it fixed? Or is it on you to decide who are you going to be even though life has been hard? It's my responsibility. It may not be my fault, but it's my responsibility to decide who I'm going to be after I've been hurt. Listen, guys, here's a really big problem. Sometimes we would rather be right than be free. We would rather be right than free. We'd rather play the victim card than to accept the responsibility card. Now, I'm not wishing anything on you, but let's just use this as a hypothetical. Let's say you're on your way home after church and you get into a serious accident and you are badly hurt. You are badly hurt. You need help now. Who do you want them to call first? The ambulance or the police? Who do you want there first, the ambulance or the police? Let me put it this way. Do you want to be healed or do you want to assign blame? Which do you want? You're going to have to make a choice. You think you can have both. I'm telling you guys, you're going to have to make a choice. We studied a Jesus story a few months ago. It's in John chapter 5. The story starts out like this. It says, near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool. In Hebrew, the pool was called Bethesda, had five alcoves, and there were hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, in those alcoves. And one guy had been in those alcoves there for 38 years. This guy is lying there, paralyzed, 38 years, this is his whole life. This is who he is. This is what he does. It's his identity. It's not a great life, but it's all he knows. And we're told that Jesus comes in there, and Jesus knows, because Jesus knows these things. And Jesus asks him a question. And he says, would you like to get well? Are you serious? This guy's been lying there for 38 years. He's a beggar. He's crippled. He's paralyzed. Jesus says, would you like to get well? Well, of course I want to get well, right? Well, guys, I've been a pastor here at Capital City now for almost 21 years, believe it or not. Surprises me more than anybody, right? Yeah, there we go. Before that time, I was a professor. I was teaching messed up kids at a Bible college. And I have learned that this is a great question. Because if Jesus heals this guy, a lot of things are going to have to change. He's not going to be able to beg anymore. He's going to lose what was his identity for 38 years, his job, his income. Are you willing to pay the price of being healed? So let me ask you guys this question. Do you want to be healed? And understand, guys, I know that you've been hurt a lot. You have been deceived, maligned, betrayed, disparaged. People have said things that are not true about you. People have hurt you. I know that. Do you want to hang on to your right to get even? Or do you want to be healed? You're going to have to make a choice. You want to call the police or you want to call an ambulance? If you want freedom, there's a price to pay. You're not going to be able to wait until the whole world gets right, until everybody around you who's hurt you has confessed their sin and made it right. Do you want to be free? Are you willing to give up your job as an injustice collector? If you're going to do that, you're going to have to turn in your victim card and take some responsibility for who you are and who you are from here this point on. Guys, if you want to be well, you're going to have to give up endlessly repeating, endlessly rehearsing how badly you've been hurt, how badly you've been mistreated. If you want to be well, you're going to have to give up those grudges and forgive some people. To be honest, that's going to be really hard for some of us. Some of you guys would not know what to do without your grudges. It's your identity. We're going to talk about that more next week. If you want to be well, you're going to have to allow people to get close to you again. Some of you guys who have been hurt keep people at an arm's length, right? You don't let them close. You're going to have to risk trusting people again rather than keeping them at arm's length. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? You see, guys, when we hang on to the victim card, we buy into a lie that life is not going to be great. It will never be great until the world becomes fair. It's not going to be great until everybody who has hurt me either fesses up, makes it right, or gets theirs. And you can't help a liar. Those are all lies. Now, I know this stuff's hard to listen to. I know it's challenging to all of us. In fact, there may be some of you guys who don't like me much right now. Think I've been a little harsh, and you're thinking to yourself, you don't have a clue, preacher, where I've been, what's happened to me, how tough it's been. And you're right. I don't have a clue. But I also don't think that what I've been trying to teach you is from me. I think this is what he wants us to hear. And I believe that he's even more right than you are. Do you want to taste the life that's available to you on this freeway? Do you want to be well? Well, guys, there's a truth that comes from the Bible. The first part of this is directly from the Bible. The second part comes from life, okay? Here's what it is. Jesus says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You believe that? But it's going to hurt first. Sometimes to be healed, it's going to take some pain. It's going to hurt first. But the truth will set you free. So guys, there are some hard words that we have to be able to say. And I'm telling you, these words can't just be said with the lips. God knows whether we're saying them here or here. There are some words that we're going to have to say. The first one is this. You ready? I was wrong. Isn't that hard? In fact, what I'd like to do is to see if you're willing to say it with me. You ready to read it with me? Just these words. Ready? I was wrong. Now, the person sitting next to you is saying, first time I've heard him say that in months, maybe years. It's hard for us to say, isn't it? Is there someone that you need to say that to? Is there someone that you need to say that to? Here's the second one. This is hard. I have sinned. You ready? With me. I have sinned. When's the last time from here that you've told God that? Is there someone that you need to say these words to? Is there someone that you need to say these words to? One more. Ready? It's on me now. Say it with me. It's on me now. What that means is, I know he hurt me, but now it's my choice whether I let that hurt define me. She may have hurt me, but it's on me to move forward with God's help because I want to be well. Guys, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. But listen, this is, anytime you pray, this is something that you got to get understand. God doesn't listen to your words, right? You know why? Because we can say words that don't reflect our heart. When you pray here, God listens to this. What I'm asking you is that when you say this thing, try to say them from here when we pray this prayer together. We're just going to read it together. We're going to read it in unison and try to make these words your own. Are you ready? Our Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we've done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways. Forgive us, we pray you. Free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Bow your heads, please, with me. Father, we know that we've come into your presence. And we want to confess things that we try to conceal from you. Things that we try to conceal from others. We confess the heartbreak, the worry, the sorrow that we have caused that make it so difficult for others to forgive us. We confess the times we have made it easy for others to do wrong. We confess the harm that we have done that makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. We confess the anger and the bitterness that we won't let go of. Anger and bitterness that steal the joy that you want to give us. Lord, we beg your mercy, your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.